I learned two important lessons of my life. One was resilience. Every time you fall, you need to stand up again, more stronger. And second was the self-belief, because somebody believed in you that you could do it. It was only yourself need to believe that, come on, you can do it. And that two lessons I have always carried with me in my corporate journey. And I would be happy to say that it's required today. You need to be more self-resilient and have self-belief to accomplish whatever we think in our life.
Welcome to Spinning Values, an original podcast by BK Lawn Synthetics. And your host is Kartik. And today we are thrilled to welcome Rushin Vadhani, a distinguished marketing expert, educator, and author of the inspiring new book, Awesome Eye. In our conversation, we'll explore powerful themes of resilience and self-belief that have shaped Rushin's remarkable journey, while diving into his unique perspectives on personal branding and professional growth. Join us for what promises to be an enlightening discussion about discovering your authentic potential.
So hello, everyone. Welcome back to Spinning Values podcast, a podcast by BK Lawn. So here we are back again. And today we have someone very special, someone whom I have been working with for a very long time and who was a part of my journey at a very pivotal time of my career. So welcome, Rushin, to Spinning Values podcast. So everyone who's listening or hearing, who don't know you, why don't you give a brief introduction about you and tell us about your work?
Thanks, Kartik, for inviting me to the podcast. And it's a privilege to be your guest, Kartik. I have always been looking forward to be your guest because I always adore the podcast that you have been doing. I also thank BK Lawn team, especially Soin Sir, for this invitation to be on the podcast, which is very popular. Talking about myself, Kartik, I'm a passionate marketer. I'm academician and with experience of 20 plus years into the corporate, worked with renowned companies like Tuchler Germany, AD Marketing, Allegro, Wellspun, and recently I worked with Reliance. So to add to the feather, now I'm an author of a book called Awesome Eye, Inspire the Real You. So I keep on changing my hats as I mature with my age, and father of two loving daughters, which bring a lot of sunshine and delight to my life, my wife, my father, my family, who have always been supportive of my journey, always standing by me when I am always low or high of my life, reminding me there is a sky to reach. And when I'm at high, they always tell me there is an earth below. So stay humble. So thanks to my family to be always be there.
Okay. So before we dive more into your life journey and your career and experiences as such, let's straight up speak about why we are doing this. You already mentioned it. You have written a book, and that book is called Awesome Eye. It's available on all the platforms. So how did that happen and what this book is about? Tell us a little bit about that.
So as you can see, Awesome Eye, Inspire the Real You book, it's a journey of self-discovery and success. This book is for Gen Z's, young professionals, corporates, academicians. It's for all of them who want to explore themselves to be successful, have a path of self-journey. This book is written straight from my heart based on my experiences or few life-changing experiences in my life. So this book teaches you many lessons which I have learned, and I would say these have helped me to excel in my corporate life. Qualities like resilience, self-belief, gratitude, mindfulness. These are the few lessons which I strongly profess the listeners to practice in life, because no matter what, we come into an era of AI or digital world. These are some profound things which will never change. And the moment of instant gratification which Gen Z's are into certainly needs to read this book. So that's about the book. And I'm very happy that today I'm an author and reaching out through your platform to close to 1 million students or professionals or the audience. So help me to reach and spread a word about it.
Yes, absolutely, Rushin. And we'd love everyone to go and search for this book. As I said, the book is available on Amazon and on a few other websites. So what I kind of fathom from reading about the book and from your answer is that this book emphasizes self-belief, resilience, and never give up attitude. So can you share a personal experience where these values shaped your path?
Yeah, sure. Let me take you back to my corporate journey where I started my journey as a young professional after completing my textile engineering and MBA in marketing. So the company was a German company called Tuchler, associated with AT Marketing. And it was one of the leading textile company in the country. And I was fortunate enough to start my career with this company. So there were the brightest minds of textiles in this company. And I was the youngest amongst all of them. And in the room with such experts, when you are there, a situation where you feel, are you capable to really make yourself proven to whatever task come in? Management always encouraged young talents like us. So I was lucky to work on a new technology called as non-woven, which was fairly new in during that time of the period. So I was given the task to handle this project and learn this technology. I failed. There were many embarrassing situations as well, where I did something silly in spite of being an MBA. But then I realized failing is fine. It's okay. As long as you stand back again with a lot of confidence, you put in a lot of efforts to learn things in a right perspective and deliver what is expected. That was the period when I learned two important lessons of my life. One was resilience. Every time you fall, you need to stand up again more stronger. And second was the self-belief, because somebody believed in you that you could do it. It was only yourself need to believe that, come on, you can do it. And that two lessons I have always carried with me in my corporate journey. And I would be happy to say that it's required today. You need to be more self-resilient and have self-belief to accomplish whatever we think in our life.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good insight. And I think it will help anyone who's listening, especially the Gen Z that you said that you are targeting this book to. So I was just going through your LinkedIn profile and you have described there yourself as a self-made and independent professional. So what were some of the early challenges? Like, you did tell us about how you failed in the beginning and then you sort of rose up again. And can you tell us some of more early challenges you faced and how did you overcome them? And from that, how can a young professional learn some lessons?
I come from a very humble background of typical middle class, where the parents always believed that higher the education, better would be your life. And I was one of them. Humble beginning, humble background. My parents always supported me by education, having a lot of resources, not having a safety net as today's Gen Zs have, parents caring and providing the best of everything. I was not the privileged one, but that was definitely a blessing in disguise to me, where I knew you had to earn credits, you have to earn respect by working hard, working smart, and putting not 100% but 200% of yours. And your work will speak for yourself. And that's how I started climbing my success ladder. People trusting me, offering me opportunities which helped me to excel in my corporate life. And that's how I shaped my career. And I'm proud to say that I'm a self-made man.
Okay, that's really good to hear. And yes, like, things have changed quite drastically for the younger generation. So I completely get it. And we are probably the only generation who has seen so much progress and so much change. You know, now the next generation, okay, there will be progression in their lives. Like, okay, technology will evolve when it will. But I don't think they'll ever be a point where, like, because I know when we were growing up, there were times when there used to be no power. You know, there used to be power cuts. True. And there were no mobile phones, so forget it. There were no internet. There was no... So we've seen things evolve, you know. So, yes. So, I mean, so that just by the virtue of us going through that transition, we have learned so many things. Like resilience, you said that it's one of the, you know, most important aspect that we developed naturally, I think, because of the way things were developing. But now, right now, it's even more important because of the way that things are changing so fast with AI and thing and automation and robotics and things like that coming in. So resilience is something that this generation really needs to work on and learn even more than us. It came naturally to us because we saw the whole thing changing and we had to adapt and evolve. But for the new generation, it will be even more important. So that's a really insightful lesson that you just told us. So my next question, Roshan, is you started your career in marketing. I guess it's almost been 2 decades since you've been working.
Yes.
So how did your personal philosophy change? Like, did it evolve alongside your professional growth? And if it did, how? And like, if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, definitely. As a person and as a professional, I changed because during that time, I saw getting more towards sales and visibility. And over a time, as the digital transformation started happening, social media started happening, it was more to be in heart, soul and mind of the consumer. You need to be more clear about your communications. You need to be always connecting to your consumers because consumers started becoming vocal. They started having more choice. Today, you just put anything on the Google, you will have 100 of choice to make it out. And then the Amazons and the Flipkarts of the world started coming in. As a marketer, I evolved and the lesson that I learned is change is eternal. You can't stick around having old philosophies of your marketing true to your personality as well. You need to keep on changing. If you don't change, you will not evolve. And if you will not evolve, you will not progress in life. So I started learning AI. I started learning social media. But one thing always remained true with the marketing and the consumers is you need to be always emotionally connected with your consumer. That is something that you cannot forget.
So that's very important to be connected to your consumers and be emotionally involved with them. I think it's the right, no matter what technology or medium you use. But these are a few core principles that you have to follow. I mean, you have been working with, I was just reading the list. These companies are the top of their game. So you've worked with Reliance Industries. You've worked with Aditya Birla Group. Also, this German company that you worked with. Can you remember some of the most transformative projects that you were a part of and that really helped shape who you are?
Yeah, certainly. I would like to quote here 2 experiences. One, while working with Aditya Birla Group, where we were part of the Tara Skincare White, which was again a revolutionary for the first time in India, where we had developed skincare wipes and they were named as Kara. And I was so passionate with this project and the brand name Kara that I proposed to my wife saying that let's name our first daughter as Kara. And she frowned at me and said that she's not a product of yours. She's not a brand. Okay. So we will name as per what I like. I said, fine. But you know, that's the kind of love, passion that you have with the brands that you start working. And yeah, it was first of its kind product in India, which grew and was lucky and honored by Kumar Mangalam Birla. He awarded us his autographed cross pen, rewarding all the team for the successful project. And that project took off really well. And that was the time when I actually learned how consumer care products branding happens, how marketing happens. And it's not easy. You need to really deep dive into consumers' mindset. You need to understand what they really want and not something that you need to push them. And had an opportunity to work with Sarman Joshi and Anushka Sharma as our brand ambassadors. And that was a wonderful experience. The second experience I would like to quote would be a recent one working with Reliance, a global conglomerate, where I was a part of the team of graphene. Now, graphene is a new technology in India. And we were working on a project called as Hexarel, which was a functional product. And this was, again, a revolutionary product. But the challenge here was it was well ahead of its time. So the leading brands like Adidas, Nike, Puma, our own homegrown brand Performax were the early adopters. But the scalability was a challenge because the consumers, I feel, were not ready and it became a niche product. In a way, these are a few lessons that I learned while working in corporate. Never give up. Keep on pushing and one day, one door would open which will bring you immense opportunity and your product would be successful.
Okay. So talking about on one side, we have Aditya and Reliance. of the world. And on the other side, we have companies like BKLon. Which brings me to my next question. And I'm always curious about this, and I'm trying to understand it from as many textile professionals that I speak to. And we should mention, because this is a podcast by BKLon, so who are in, as you know, you all know, who are into polyester and BCF yarn manufacturing business. So I'm trying to find an answer to this. And as we work with many, many other textile manufacturers, it is still considered as a commodity business. So, you know, it has even the sellers, the agents, the consumers, they all have a commodity mindset, at least in India. Till now, except for one or two, maybe the top brands that are there. So I want to know, like, do branding in such kind of businesses matter? And how do you think storytelling and strategy can elevate such businesses like BKLon?
I would say BKLon is one of the leading companies in textile, but it always prefers to be humble. It doesn't believe in shouting loud, but it is one of the legacy company. And I congratulate Shohin sir for his leadership and the BKLon management, because it's a futuristic company where it has a modern thought, but always prefers to stay humble. I don't see any other textile company having a textile podcast, the one which we are doing today. BKLon is the first one to take this. So it always believes in experimenting with new ideas, going ahead. And I would also be happy to share that BKLon is the company which encourages young generations to, you know, work, bring their ideas on the table and believe in what they are. Having said that, it's also a company which got into sustainability projects where it has a solar plant and it believes in conserving water. Secondly, it has amazing products by the brand names, what I understand, PolyGoround, one of the products, which is a sustainable product. It is one of the products that started storytelling to its consumers, where the core idea is about sustainability. And if you look at the brand name PolyGoround, if you see its logo, if you see its visibility and marketing collateral, everything signifies about sustainability. And it talks about a story. And today's consumers need stories where it makes them feel that they are part of that brand. And it's a fantastic thing which BKLon is doing today.
Yes, I agree. So, okay, so that's about BKLon. And, you know, I've also been working with them for many, many years. And I mean, they are one of our favorite clients. And I completely agree. Like, the zone that they are in, it's so secure. You know, it's not like I'm a big shark, I'm going to eat a small fish, or, you know, let's be aggressive about anything. As you rightly said, they are one of the top companies. They have the best, I would say, and the biggest yarn manufacturing, BCF manufacturing facility. But I've never seen them sort of going out of their way in, you know, blowing their own trumpet. Even the strategies that we make for them are so. So that's a great thing to have for a company like that, to have that kind of personality. And when we also do branding projects with them, that is something we always keep in mind. The personality of the company, like, our branding can't be something else and the company's core strategy can't be something else. So that personality matters. But again, coming back to my question, do you think the branding in such industries matter? So BKLon is a bigger company. You know, if we set BKLon aside for this particular argument, do brands matter, like, when these guys are placing orders for yarn or, you know, fabrics or gray fabrics? Does it matter what brand it is, or is it still like old school human relationships and network and things like that?
That's a very good question, Karthik. And this is my experience and what I have learned through the years. Textile is a fantastic industry, but it's always been branded as commodity market, which is not true. Today, Louis Vuitton's, Versace's of the world, Dolce & Gabbana, or any brand you pick up, for that matter, I can say Nike and Adidas of the world, they all have textile background. You pick up the conglomerates of this country, Tata's, Birla's, Ambani's, all had a humble beginning with textile. So textile is the pioneer where all leading organizations of this country have started their journey from. Having said that, yes, there are two industries or two markets for textile. One is a commodity market, which is more towards the consumption oriented. And one is a market which is solely driven by brand. And when we say brands, this market is very much required today because Gen Zs know the brand. Now, for example, Nike. Nike has introduced a dry fit range of runner's t-shirt, which absorbs the sweat and keeps the wearer dry, you know. Who developed this? This was a textile technology which came in and it evolved. But today, when you go and ask for a dry fit t-shirt, which is the brand of Nike, it is a brand. And when you see a tick on someone's attire, you associate it, he's wearing a Nike t-shirt. Textile gets associated with brands in a long way. We always tend to compare this with FMCGs of the world, which is not true. And I strongly believe and profess on this platform that the young generation, the young textile technologists, whoever are entering now into this business, need to be brand focused, because that is what their consumers are requiring. There is a range of cotton which is called swing cotton, which is one of the best cotton. You have khadi. Government has taken an initiative to brand khadi today. So you see, slowly and steadily, all the products of the textile, no matter whichever category they are in, will get branded to bring it lot of equity to the company and to the consumers who are buying it, because that evolves with a trust. So that is very much required today.
Okay, so that gave us a nice insight into the way the textile companies think, and it's good that they should be branding. I firmly believe that they should be branding, and branding does matter. So now that was a bit about marketing that we discussed, but we had discussed something in the beginning, and now because you are into academy, if I'm not wrong, you are now at a business school. And yep. So how did that jump happen? And, you know, what is this? How is that different from what you were doing earlier to what you are doing now? And why don't you tell us that? And then there are a few more things that I want to ask about this new journey of yours.
So this was a pivotal shift in my life, where I was working with Reliance and I was doing extremely well thanks to the management of Reliance. A lot of learnings in Reliance, being a corporate giant and a global leader. One fine day, I decided I need to tick few things off my bucket list, and one of them was my doctorate. So I'm pursuing my PhD. Apart from that, I felt I need to interact with young minds, and my passion for teaching was always there. Whenever I got an opportunity, I used to visit several B schools in Mumbai and also outside Mumbai as a visiting faculty or a guest lecturer. So somewhere that passion was always there. And then I said, let me give a shot getting into academics with a lot of corporate experience, pursue my PhD, interact with young minds, and teach marketing, which is always close to my heart. This pivotal shift happened. And today I have been in academics for close to 2 years. But I would say today's academics or the B schools have also evolved, where experienced people like us are required to mold the future managers, because we bring in a lot of experience, and this experience blended with theory classrooms, it becomes a fantastic pedagogy for the future managers to learn from. And this also gave me opportunity to spend good quality time with my daughters that they are growing, write a book. Now this book is also being transformed into a workshop. I invite academicians and corporate community to have this workshop, Awesome I, and everything just got evolved. And I would just say, be happy what you want to do in life. Everything that you do in life has a message, has a teaching, and it is a part of a bigger plan which has been planned for you. And just go with the flow.
Okay, so that's a great insight. Actually, now that we are winding up the podcast, I was about to ask you to give the listeners, the young listeners, one piece of advice for their personal growth as well as their professional journey. You already said a very nice thing just before I asked you this question, that go with the flow and do whatever you do with happiness. But if there is anything you can add into it, which will help the younger audience with their personal growth and their professional journey, that will be really good.
Yeah. So Karthik, I've shared my experience to the podcast, how my journey has been through different phases of life. And I'm someone who comes from the similar background that the listeners would be coming from. So everything is doable. It's only the attitude that is required. Self-belief, qualities like gratitude, mindfulness, which are part of my book. Certainly they make a lot of difference. Karthik, if you may permit me, I would like to read a quote to the listeners from my book, which goes like this.
Yes, please.
So hope that would be helpful to the listeners as well. The quote goes like this: buried beneath self-doubt and fear is your awesome eye, awaiting to be seen, heard, and believed in. Set it free. You need to carve your own script to become awesome, because the inspire real you is always within you. So that's from me, Karthik, and I invite all the listeners of the podcast to please read this book, because I would not claim that this would be a life changer, but certainly this will make a difference in your life, because this book comes straight from my heart.
Okay. That was so profound, Roshan. Thanks for reading to us this beautiful quote, and thanks for your time. It was a great conversation that, and hope we should do more of these soon and more regularly. I'm sure listeners will learn a lot from you.
Surely, Karthik, I look forward. Thank you once again to you and Bikelon team for giving me this opportunity to be on your podcast, and look forward for many more. Thank you. Thank you, Karthik.
We'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to Roshan Vadhani for sharing his inspiring journey and valuable insights with us today. His story of resilience, self-belief, and continuous growth truly embodies the spirit of personal and professional development that we celebrate on this show. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe to Spinning Values and share it with others who might benefit from these conversations. Remember, Spinning Values is an original podcast by Bikelon Synthetics, where we bring you meaningful discussions with industry leaders who are shaping the future of business and personal growth. Until next time, keep believing in your awesome self.